Please join me this morning in considering Colossians chapter 3. We're going to be reading starting in verse 22 and reading through the first verse of chapter 4. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 22. So servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Let us bow before the Lord and commit these words to Him, this message to Him. Heavenly Father, again we thank You for the privilege that we have as those who are in Christ through the blood of Jesus Christ, through faith in His perfect work, that we have access into Your very throne room of grace. And we thank You for that great privilege. We thank You for the privilege of coming to You to worship You. Lord, there is nothing good in ourselves. We trust You, Lord, that You have sufficiently saved those who have trusted in You alone for salvation. And we thank You, Lord, for allowing us to come and worship You. Lord, now as we continue our worship, we worship You in how we listen. As Your Holy Spirit brings forth Your Word, as He proclaims Your Word to our hearts, as I worship You as I proclaim Your Word, seeking to be led of Your Spirit. Lord, transform us, change us. Lord, show us where we need to change. Show us encouraging truths from Your Word. Show us, Lord, more about You and how great You are. Help us, O God, that we would be stabilized to live our lives in the turbulent times, lives of peace reflecting Jesus Christ. Help us to be in awe of You, our God. We thank You and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. It says, If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. As we consider this morning, as we consider this useful vessel study, we are desiring to be a useful vessel to the Lord. We desire to be used for His honor and for His glory. We are in the process of considering the practice of a useful vessel. The practice of a useful vessel, putting on Christ in His relationships. Do you put on Christ in your relationship? Is He the garment, the Christ-like garment? Is that what's manifested in your life? The challenge for each of us as we consider this is we want to look distinctly like Christ, look like Jesus. So as we've been looking here, verses 18 through 21, we looked at our usefulness in our home life. Our usefulness in our home life. And so the challenge there is to look distinctly like Christ in our home. We considered the different roles. Roles of wives, the roles of husbands, of children, of fathers, parents. And the role that we desire to be useful for the Master. How useful are we in promoting Jesus Christ? Colossians 3:17 says these words, "And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." this verse really qualifies for us. And we've taken this verse and we continue to bring it along within each role that we address, that Paul addresses here in Colossians. So with regards to our home life, very simply, we consider these words, verse 17. We are to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of gratitude, giving thanks to God the Father by Him. It begins here. If we have any hopes of seeing Christ's likeness within our roles in home, and also as we'll look at today in our work lives. Today we look at our usefulness in our work life. How useful are you to the work of Christ at work? The challenge for us again, look distinctly like Christ at work. Do you look distinctly like Jesus at work? Do people know that you are a Christian? The goal of the study is to pursue usefulness, being fit for the master's use. When we go to work, are we still a useful vessel? Are we still fit for the master's use? Do we honor our Lord Jesus Christ? We claim to be a child of God. We claim to be a Christian. Are we letting our Christ show? And that's something that we need to understand. Be very conscious about the fact that we need to be going through this life promoting Jesus. So first, let's look at the biblical role of employees. Letter A there. The biblical role of employees. What does God say to each one as an employee? Now, what do we see there? Verse 22, it says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh." So let us look at this here as we bring in verse 17 once again. Servants or employees, you are to obey your masters or your employers in word and in deed, all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him, having an attitude of gratitude. This will transform your work life as you willingly submit with that attitude of gratitude, seeking to honor your master, Jesus. He is our master. We call Him Lord. Another way of saying master. So first consider with me the measure of our service. Now, if there's anyone that owns a business here, this still can relate to you. We will get to verse 1, which deals specifically with business owners, masters. But we all can relate to the employee working and what that entails. Who is to obey? We see this, the measure of our service, number 1. Letter A, who is to obey? Who is to obey? Let's gain a little bit of an understanding who these servants are. The Greek word for servants is the word doulos. A doulos. One of the words used in the Bible often is translated bond slave. But in the Bible, a doulos, very simply, would be one who is responsive to the will of another. A doulos is one who is responsive to the will of another. And I've showed you the illustration or the diagram of the right triangle. And the right triangle deals with our vertical relationship and it deals with our horizontal relationship. Our vertical relationship is us being a doulos for Christ, a servant of Jesus Christ. We are responsive to His will. And as we are responsive to His will, He works in us, Philippians 2:13, He works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And as He's working in us, it enables us to be a diakonos, which is another word for servant in the Bible, which is one who is responsive to the needs of others. As we're first and foremost responsive to God's will, humbling ourselves, submitting to His will, He then helps us to work, be effectively serving other people. And it's a triangle because when we are first going to God and submitting to Him, and in turn we are responding by being responsive to the needs of others, then and only then will the triangle be finished by glory being brought back to God. It's a beautiful diagram of how we are to live our lives for Christ. We serve God in how we serve others. And the glory comes back to Him. That's our goal. Here we see this word is doulos. One who is responsive to the will of another. The word doulos carries the idea of having one's own will swallowed up by another, along with serving without regard for his or her own interests. It's as if your own will is being swallowed up because someone else's will is more important. As a servant of Jesus Christ, His will is most important, isn't it? Our will ultimately should be swallowed up as we submit to His will. Paul is addressing the first century slave here. Much of the workforce in biblical times in the first century was made up of slaves, many of whom were now believers. One commentator was estimating somewhere along 60 million slaves were in the Roman Empire. I mean, it was in the workforce. It was dominated by slaves. Some of whom were willing servants, most of whom were not. But yet they were responsive to the will of their master. Their masters controlled their time, their activities, and their livelihood. For a believer who was a slave, discouragement and resentment could have hindered their work ethic. Can you imagine a first century slave gets saved? We know that the Bible doesn't encourage slavery. It seeks to... the desire is to... we are all one in Christ. But the reality is, it took a while for slavery to be removed in a great way. But can you imagine a slave who, if they allowed their bitterness and resentment toward their master, how would that impact their work ethic? As an employee for your employer, how does your attitude impact how you work? Today, this would be applicable to employees. When on the clock, the employee's time ultimately is not their own. They are to faithfully work for their employer. Discouragement or resentment will hinder an employee's work ethic. How about young people? You might say, well, I'm not working, so I can go to sleep during this message. Well, consider this. Are you in school? Do you work in your schoolwork? I would say very loosely, this can apply to you as well. The principles hold true to the fact that you are submissive to your teachers. And ultimately, children, you're submissive to your parents, right? They obey your parents. So, young people, guess what? You're not off the hook with this one. All right? Let's listen and see if the Lord can help you understand what He wants for you. And also understand that, Lord willing, someday you will be in the workforce. You will have a boss. How are you going to work? What is your attitude going to be when you go to work? So we first see who is to obey. We see that servants. But we see how we are to obey. How we are to obey. What is this obeying? What does it look like? Well, we see that we are to obey in all things. Servants, you are to obey in all things. Obey your masters in all things. To obey. This word obey, if you look back to verse 20, it's the same word that Paul gave to children. Children, obey your parents in all things. Now he says, servants, obey in all things your masters. He's saying really the same thing. Okay, so to obey is to hear under or yield to a superior command as a subordinate. It's to listen intently. The word obey carries the action of listening and the attitude of humble submission. Obedience then is listening to a command and then responding to what you hear in submission. Remember what I said? What was the illustration that we used? What is the hand signal that we're using? You put feet to the ear. You put feet to what you hear. The idea is that what I listen, what I hear, I'm going to do. There's listening. and there's doing. We act upon having a submissive attitude. Paul challenges servants to humbly submit to those in authority over them. Here we see the measure or extent of obedience. God, through Paul, says, obey in all things. Obey in all things. Servants, employees, obey in all things. The extent of the employee's obedience is summed up here. Willingly do what you are asked to do. That can be hard sometimes, right? As an employee, well, I don't like my manager, my boss, and they just don't like me. They have it in for me, and so they always give me the bad jobs, the most difficult jobs, the jobs that are most unpleasant that nobody else wants to do. Or we can go down the laundry list of why we can have a bad attitude and justify disobedience or outward obedience but inward disobedience. Willingly do what you were asked to do. But notice what verse 23 says. I believe this is a qualifier for in all things. And whatsoever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Your doing all things for your boss is as unto the Lord. What does that tell you? Are there some things that your boss is going to command you to do that you truly cannot do because you are seeking your greater master is God, and I'm going to obey Him? Now the challenge is, how do you go about doing that? You might get fired. But the reality is, what's more important, honoring Christ or keeping your job in those situations? Those are difficult situations that are very challenging, and we need to understand that, I believe more oftentimes than not, those are exceptions. The rule is, live out your testimony and honor Christ and talk to your boss. And many bosses would be understanding. Obviously, there are bosses who wouldn't be understanding. Your earthly master is to be obeyed in all things that do not contradict the commands of your greater master. So we see there the measure of our service. Obey in all things. Willingly submit. What a testimony it is for a Christian employee to submit when other employees are not. What a testimony for Christ. Usefulness for Christ. That's the goal, isn't it? We want to be useful for the master's work. What does that entail? I want to put myself in every position. I want to set myself up for any position that allows me to display Christ to everyone that I come into contact with. I want to put myself in a position where my testimony is speaking volumes as to my love for Jesus, so that in hopes of being able to share the gospel with someone, share with them the love of Christ, share with them the good news of Jesus. Oftentimes, as Christian employees, we can fall short and not display the love of Christ. And we hinder our testimony, and therefore, if we're not useful to the master, if we're hindering the cause of Christ, we are then useless to the cause of Christ. And ultimately, we bring reproach upon His name. And that is not what we want to do. The challenge is, we've all fallen into that category, possibly. We've all fallen into that category where we have not promoted Christ's name as we should. But let today be a new day, if you've fallen into that category. Let today be a new day where tomorrow you start out, Lord, I'm going to trust You. Help me to discern how I can be a useful vessel in Your hand to my boss, to my fellow employees. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. So we see this measure of our service. Consider number two, the manner of our service. How do we put this into practice? What do we see here? This is the quality of our obedience. What is the quality of your obedience? The manner, how you obey. Well, first consider in verse 22, the second part of it, who is watching? Who is watching? Verse 22 says, not with eye service. Not with eye service. Our attitude can be just working when somebody is watching. We can be so concerned about doing our job when the boss is around, yet failing to realize that God is always around. Work should not be done just when the master or boss is looking. That's eye service. A Christian employee should be trustworthy, diligent, faithful, whether the boss is watching or not. Consider Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21 says, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings." For the ways of man are, if you will, directly before or directly in front of God's eyes. And he carefully ponders, he carefully considers all that man does. God's watching as we claim the name of Christ. Let's always know that everything we do, God is watching. Consider letter B there. Who are you pleasing? Who are you pleasing? Continue on there in verse 22 as we see that it says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh," this earthly masters, "not with eye service, as men pleasers." As men pleasers. Work should be done not just to make the boss happy, pleasing men. Do you do things just to please your boss? You know, if we do things just to please our boss, what's going to happen? There's going to be times where we are going to compromise our faith, our testimony, because we want to please our boss. But ultimately, the reality is, just as our greater master is of utmost importance, we need to be desiring to please him. Consider a sister passage of this with regards to servants is found in Ephesians chapter 6. If you want to turn there, hold your place in Colossians, but you'll want to have a bookmark in Ephesians chapter 6 as we consider that passage that it parallels in a really very neat way, seeing Paul wrote both of them, and there's a lot of similarity. It's pretty wonderful to see. But consider Ephesians chapter 5, chapter 6, starting at verse 5. It says, Paul writing to the Ephesian church, he says, "Servants, doulos," or douloi, I guess it would be there properly, "be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh," your earthly masters, "with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ." Then he goes on to say in verse 6, "not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart." There's the second part of verse 6, doing the will of God from the heart. As a doulos, as a servant, we are to be responsive to the will of another. Doing the will of God is to be done with honor that is from our heart, not merely outward obedience, which is giving eye service as men pleasers. See, just like children, you can obey outwardly. Mom and Dad say, empty the dishwasher, or do the dishes, or make your bed, or take the garbage out. Whatever chore that you have, and you can outwardly obey. Yes, the job was done, but inside you're stirring, you're angry. Who are they to tell me what to do? God says they're your parents. You need to obey them. But we can have a bad attitude and dishonor our parents. We can outwardly obey and inwardly disobey. As employees, we can do the same exact thing. We can do the same exact thing as we outwardly obey, but inwardly disobey. We need to be desiring to do God's will, pleasing God, and therefore rejoicing to be able to please the Father. How can I please the Father in obeying my boss, my manager? How can I do that? But obey from the heart, pleasing the Lord. Consider Galatians 1:10, for it says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." What does he say there? Do you see that? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Being a man pleaser is not pleasing God, and therefore it's not serving God. We are not a doulos of God. We are not being responsive to the will of God, our Master, when we are pleasing men or compromising. Consider Joseph. If you want to turn back, just hold your place there. But consider with me Genesis, first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 39. Genesis 39, as we see Joseph was sold into slavery and he's taken down to Egypt. And he's sold to Potiphar. Consider what Joseph did here. Starting in verse 1, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down hither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Joseph found grace in the sight of Potiphar's sight, and he served him. And he, Potiphar, made Joseph overseer over his own house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian, his house, for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he, Potiphar, left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person, well favored. What a testimony. What a testimony. Now, as we consider that as an example for what we're talking about here today, that's a challenge. It's hard to translate that into today's day and age. Why do I say that? Because we have it much better than Joseph did, don't we? 17 years old, sold by his brothers into a land he didn't know how to speak the language, into a land where he didn't know the customs, he didn't know the religion. He stuck out. But yet God was with him. God blessed him. And God blessed his boss, his owner. Joseph obeyed his master. And God significantly blessed him. Yes, we move forward. We just go a little bit further and Mrs. Potiphar enters the scene. And oh boy, what a challenge. But we know that Joseph, through all the trials and tribulations that he went through, he sought to honor the Lord. Are you seeking to honor the Lord in everything that you do? He will bless you. Sometimes your blessing comes as it did for Joseph in losing his job, being thrown in jail. But suffering always comes before glory. The Bible gives us many illustrations of that. Let's consider, what is your attitude? What is your attitude? Here you see two phrases that deal with the heart or our attitude. Verse 22 reveals your loyalty. It reveals your loyalty. What do we see there in verse 22? Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart. Singleness of heart. The loyalty of one whose work ethic is based upon eye service, where's their loyalty? If they're just seeking to please their master, if they're just seeking to do work when their boss is around, who's their loyalty to? Starts with an M and ends in E. Right? When you are just seeking to please your master, do work when your master is watching, your loyalty is to yourself. It's a self-loyalty. You're not loyal to the master. Not obeying the master. Not obeying God. Paul calls for a genuine work ethic as unto the Lord. Work like you are seeking to please God with undivided service. It also, number two there, it reveals your energy. It reveals your energy. Verse 23 says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Heartily. That literally means from the soul. From the soul. The word heartily, in context here, Paul is talking to servants as they serve their masters. He tells them to obey wholeheartedly, diligently, honoring their masters by putting your soul into your effort. That's putting your whole body in. That's getting in there. That's not half-hearted. We know half-hearted is eye-pleasing as men serve, eye-serving as men pleasers. But this is putting your whole heart into it. So we see that with regards to our attitude, it reveals what your loyalty is and it reveals what kind of energy you have. We're to be diligently serving the Lord. Not halfway. Full tilt. All in. Put all your efforts in. So we see the measure of our service and the manner of our service. Now consider number three, the motive of our service. What's the motive of your service? As Christians, what is your motive at work? What motivates you to work the way you do? Why do you work? Why do you go to work? Why do you have the work ethic you have, whether it is good or not? Why do you have it? What motivates you to go to work every day? What motivates you to act the way you do at work? Well, let's consider what God says our motive should be. What should motivate us as a Christian? Consider the way in which you work, letter A, as an act of worship. Consider your worship. Is the way in which you work, does it display God-honoring worship or worship of self? Is the way in which you work, does it display worship of God or worship of self? Consider first there, verse 22. The very end, it says, fearing God. Fearing God. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. The word for fear is to be in awe of God. That leads to obedience of Him. To fear God is to be in awe of Him, to respect Him. That results in obeying Him. It's submitting to Him. Dr. Griffith, who is here, about a month ago, as far as a quote from him with regards to the fear of the Lord, the reverence that comes from the knowledge of the continual presence of God. The reverence that comes from the knowledge, your knowledge, of God's continual presence. Young people, do you behave differently when you're in the presence of mom and dad? Mom said, don't get into the cookie jar. When she's in the kitchen, do you get into the cookie jar? Uh-oh. Honesty. I love kids. How many of us should say the same thing she did, if we're honest? How many of us act differently because we forget of God, that God is eternally present with us? And we act differently in times when we feel we're all alone and I can do what I want. If we're all honest with ourselves, we all fall short to some degree in that area. And we need to be diligent in submitting ourselves to the Lord. Consider again, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5, it says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, as unto Christ. As unto Christ. But it says there, with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling. It does not speak of terror. It does not speak of being afraid, if you will, but it speaks of worship. It's an attitude of worship. Here is one of eagerness to do one's duty as a servant of God, the fear of displeasing your master. It's not a fear of the repercussions. It's a fear of, I don't want to displease Him. I love Him. I want to serve Him. I desire to do His will. It's that eagerness, as if shaking. I just want to do what God wants me to do. Fear and trembling. It's desiring to worship God. Consider 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. It says, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle masters, but also to the froward. You know what a froward master is? It's a master that you don't want to have. They're obnoxious. They're mean. They're disrespectful. They don't treat you right. Peter is saying, be subject, be submissive, obey your masters, not only the good masters, but also the froward masters. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, unjustly. For this is thankworthy. Literally, that word is grace. That word is grace. For this is thankworthy, or an act of grace, of, if you will, God's divine enablement. If you are mistreated at work, specifically by your boss, if you are mistreated by them and you respond with grace, is that natural or unnatural? Even for the Christian. Is that natural for the Christian? It should be. But is it? Is it what happens more often than not? As a Christian who is pursuing Christ's likeness, for a Christian who is diligent in seeking the Lord and displaying Christ, it should be natural for him. But many Christians, I've been guilty of it myself. I haven't responded with grace. God's divine enablement to help me respond in a way that's abnormal. That's thankworthy. So we consider the aspect of fearing God in our worship, but also consider verse 23, as to the Lord and not unto men. Consider serving Christ in your worship. You're worshiping God. You're serving Christ. Serve your master as you serve the Lord. Serve God in how you serve others. Servants, employees, you serve God in how you serve your boss. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 7 says, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. If we put our focus on pleasing God first, we will be a blessing to our boss. And most bosses, I believe, would respond favorably to your pleasing God first. Not all. And you may say, well, not my boss. But then I would say, have you tried? Too oftentimes we can assume, where we don't have factual evidence, that he will respond or she will respond that way. Please the Lord. Serve the Lord. Knowing, verse 24 says, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. As a child of God, your service is to God. He is your master. Serve Him. Consider this reality. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, there is a greater reward than the paycheck. Do we realize that? There's a greater reward than the paycheck. The benefits that you receive, the stability of job. There's a greater reward than your stability of work. Submitting to Christ, doing things His way, is ultimately from Christ that we will receive compensation. It is ultimately before Christ that we will stand and give account as to how we acted, whether or not we honored Him in our actions? Or were we men pleasers with eye service? 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Do all to the glory of God. Do all to the glory of God. Keep in mind that you're serving Lord Christ. Let's keep in mind that when we are called upon to do something that we may feel is beneath us, keep in mind that when you feel that taking out the garbage, that's beneath me. Washing the toilet, that's beneath me. Stopping and helping someone fix their tire, that's beneath me. All the other things that you can come up with that we may feel, this is beneath me. Consider the fact that you are serving Christ. And if that's what you've been given to do, serve the Lord to the best of your ability by washing that toilet, make it the cleanest toilet you've ever seen. Because you're not doing it for someone to say, "Hey, way to go, I've never seen a toilet that shiny before." They may say that. But the reality is most people won't even notice. Do it for God. Do it for God. Wash that floor for God's sake. Wash that whatever for the Lord's sake. Help that person for the Lord's sake. Do that unenviable job for God's sake, for His honor, for His glory. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He humbled Himself. He was obedient unto death, even death of the cross. But consider the warning. Consider your worship, but consider the warning. Verse 25 says, "But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." What do we see here? The strong warning is given here to remind us that wrongdoing in the workplace never goes unnoticed. Even if your boss missed it. Even if your boss missed it, it doesn't go unnoticed. Consider Proverbs 15, verse 3 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding or watching the evil and the good." Are you considering the fact that God is watching your every action? It says there is no respect of persons. God doesn't show favoritism. Oh, you're the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. You know what? You're going to get special favor. You're the owner of this business. You're going to get special favor. You're just a lowly employee. Well, you know what? You're going to get what's coming to you. Does God work that way? What's right is right. What's wrong is wrong. God deals righteously. He always does what is right. Know it. Take it to the bank. Never forget it. God always does what is right, no matter what. Doesn't show favoritism. Genesis 8:25 says that, "That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Abraham's crying out to God, I know you're going to do right when it comes to the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. I know you're going to do what is right. And he prayed for him. He desired, "Lord, you are going to do what is right." And God did what was right. There wasn't even 10 souls in there that were righteous. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is right? Yes, he will, and he always does. So there we see the biblical role of a servant, of an employee. Consider quickly with me the biblical role of employers. Verse 1 of chapter 4. "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Masters, rule over your servants in word and in deed, all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. This will transform your work life as you lovingly lead with an attitude of gratitude, seeking to honor your Master Jesus." You lovingly lead. Consider a man in authority. Consider a man in authority. Beginning of verse 1. "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, The word masters would apply to business owners as well as bosses or those who run the business, as they are not always in one and the same, obviously. These bosses could loosely be applied even to the point of being a manager. Employers are called upon to consider Christ in how they run their business. What kind of employer would Christ have been? I think this is a great question. That's to consider. What kind of employer would Christ have been? Well, he worked for 30 years as a carpenter, didn't he? Do you think there was ever a time? We don't hear about Joseph, his stepfather, much after he was 12, I believe. We don't know when he died. But up until the age of 30, we understand that Jesus was working as a carpenter. Do you think there were times that maybe there were some teenagers that came in and worked for them? It's possible. It's possible. Do you think that anybody ever worked for him? It's very possible. What would he have been like? He would have been true to his character. He would have been true to his name. He would have been righteous. He would have been just. He would have been generous. He would have been gracious. He would have lovingly led. He would have been patient. Just as we see through the whole Gospels, as we see Him working with people, how He patiently, lovingly worked with them. He was faithful to them. Consider Christ. If we ask the question about employers and how Jesus would have been an employer, should we ask the question, how would Jesus have been as an employee? He would have been one of those employees that the boss would have said, why can't you just be like Jesus? Ultimately, that's what they should be saying, shouldn't they? Ephesians 6:9 says, and ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening. Forbearing, giving up threatening. Don't threaten. Don't threaten your employees. Don't threaten your slaves. Don't threaten them. Masters are to do the same thing with regards to treating their servants with Christian principles in the same way that servants are to treat their masters. Consider, we see there that there's a man in authority, the boss, but consider that he is a man under authority. Masters are to consider the fact that although they are in authority, they are still under authority. There is the accountability to God. As a Christian boss, you are accountable to God. What a beautiful reality there. God says, I'm going to keep you in check by the reality that I am your boss. Paul gives a reminder to consider the fact that masters on earth have a master in heaven. The reality is that in Christ, we are all called to be the servants of the Most High God. Just as a servant, just as an employee, the fact that you have a master in heaven, a greater master, that should dictate how we live. That should dictate how we work. Those who own businesses, masters, God says the same thing. You have a greater master in heaven. You also are under authority. Ephesians 6:9, the second part of it says, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons or favoritism with him. He doesn't show favoritism to you, master, just because you're a master of a slave. Just because you have rights over another human being, God's not going to show favoritism to you. Same thing for employers. Knowing that your master also in heaven, Paul reminds masters that they have a master in heaven, they are to be submissive to him. And ultimately, as he shows no favoritism, neither should we. So, in closing here, it's a question at the end of your outline there. And it's the same exact question for both employees and employers. Same exact question. So every single one of us here, this question is for us. What has the Lord spoken to you about that reveals an area of needed change? Has God spoken to you about an area of needed change? And I would say the answer that all of us should give is yes. If we were listening, if we were humbly allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts, we all need to change, don't we? We all need to grow in Christ like this. We all are not, none of us have arrived. None of us have graduated the school of grace. We all need God's grace. We all need to change. So what area has God revealed to you about your need to change? An area in which Christ is not reflected in your work life. An area in which you are failing to serve Christ. The challenge for us all is, are we going to humbly submit to what God says? Servants, obey your masters in all things. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal. Are we willing to submit to God and serve Him in how we serve others? This applies to all of us. Let us pray. Lord, thank You for this time. Thank You, Lord, for the truth of Your Word, Your most precious Word. Lord, we need Your help. We need You to help us yield our will to Your will. Help us, Lord, to be responsive to Your will. What do You want us to do? What are You saying to us? Help us, Lord, to change. Lord, the work environments can be very challenging, but we know that Your grace is sufficient, that You desire to work in us Your will and give us the power to do Your will. So, Lord, help us. Guide us now, we pray. We commit all these things to You, and we pray them in Jesus' name, amen.